Hello, welcome to Sun Sounds of Northern Arizona. In Flagstaff, I'm reading from the White Mountain Independent, and this is volunteer Mary Tolan. The first headline reads, Gallego visits St. John's, pledges support for SMRs and rural economic growth, by Jen Moriera, staff writer. U.S. Senator Ruben Gallego made a quiet but meaningful visit to St. John's on April 18th, meeting with Apache County leaders to discuss the future of energy in Arizona. While the meeting was closed to the press, Gallego later sat down with the White Mountain Independent for a conversation about rural energy, jobs, and infrastructure. The discussion reflected local priorities, particularly the county's growth support for small modular nuclear reactors and its frustration with industrial-scale wind energy projects. The interview began with a focus on why SMRs are gaining traction across Apache County. When asked about the local enthusiasm for nuclear energy and the simultaneous pushback against wind farms like the proposed Lava Run project, Gallego pointed to the economic advantages that SMRs offer rural areas. The main reason people are more excited about SMRs is that it creates ongoing, good-paying jobs, not just a one-time build, Gallego said. With the wind, there's very little long-term economic return for the communities that host them. That distinction between short-term construction jobs and long-term employment has become a defining issue in northeastern Arizona, where aging coal-fired power plants like Coronado are facing shutdown. Gallego emphasized that SMRs could offer not only energy generation, but also economic stability. Speaking of the small modular nuclear reactor, Gallego continued, you can scale SMRs up, you can add modular components, build more substations, and create jobs here. It's not just about generating power, it's about keeping rural Arizona alive and thriving. As the conversation shifted to public engagement in energy development, the Independent raised a concern frequently voiced by Apache County residents that wind energy projects have moved forward with little transparency and limited opportunity for local input. Asked whether SMR development would follow a more transparent and inclusive model, Gallego responded decisively. Yes, 100%, he said. We'd have to incorporate community input from the start. It's part of the planning process. We just want to make sure we're doing this in a manner that's respectful of the community without getting bogged down in unnecessary bureaucracy. Gallego said he is working to secure federal loan guarantees for companies developing SMR technology, a key incentive, especially since no SMRs are yet operational in the United States. These guarantees could reduce investment risk and speed up deployment. Some companies are afraid to make that investment, he said. Loan guarantees and breaking through regulatory bottlenecks will help fast-track development and reduce cost overruns. He added that Apache County's existing infrastructure, including transmission lines and substations, makes it a cost-effective and strategic location for deployment. Repurposing sites like Cholla or Coronado, rather than starting from scratch, could also lower costs. The discussion also touched on recent federal policy developments, including an executive order that relaxes emissions standards for coal-fired power plants. While some see this as a temporary lifeline for plants like Coronado, Gallego stressed the importance of keeping long-term energy goals in sight. Even if we can extend the life of Coronado, I'm fine with that, he said. But we also need to put down a marker that we're investing in SMRs. Both can coexist. The community may need that bridge while the SMRs come online. The conversation broadened to include economic and social concerns facing rural communities. Gallego said protecting Social Security and Medicaid is vital to the health and the stability of areas like Apache County. "You have a right to your Social Security. You worked for it," he said. "I'm especially concerned about Medicaid. Rural Arizona depends on it more than urban areas. If we start seeing cuts, hospitals here could lose emergency room services and jobs that may never come back." He warned that hospital closures could ripple through local economies, taking nurses, doctors, and vital services with them. "Some of these hospitals are the biggest employers in their area," he said. "If they shut down, it's not just about losing care, it's about losing livelihoods." To support rural economic resilience, Gallego pointed to infrastructure improvements, targeted tax incentives, and opportunity zones as key tools. "Good infrastructure brings good jobs," he said. "It's the foundation for everything else." After the senator's visit, local leaders expressed optimism about the future of energy in Apache County and gratitude for Gallego's hands-on engagement. Springerville Mayor Shelley Reedhead, a vocal critic of the proposed Lava Run wind farm, praised the meeting for providing a realistic, community-centered alternative. She said Gallego's remarks about keeping the coal-fired power plants open were, quote, "very encouraging," unquote, noting that SRP, TEP, and APS expressed willingness to keep the plants running until they can be converted to SMRs. The senator stated that he will work with the powers that be to cut the red tape and spending to have some SMRs up and running within 10 years, Reedhead said. Her comments reflect a broader sentiment in Springerville, where residents fear industrial wind could permanently alter the landscape without long-term benefit. By contrast, the SMR conversation centers on continuity, jobs, and community-driven planning. In neighboring St. John's, Mayor Spence Udall emphasized the importance of having federal leadership engage directly with rural communities. He praised Gallego's visit as a meaningful step toward partnership and long-term support. "We were honored to welcome Senator Gallego to our community," Udall said. "His continued focus on energy production and his willingness to engage directly with communities like ours demonstrates real leadership." Udall pointed to Gallego's recognition of both the complexity of large-scale electricity generation and the day-to-day realities of rural towns. "We deeply appreciate the center's commitment to understanding the challenges and opportunities in power generation and for advocating to preserve and grow the good jobs that keep our local economy strong," Udall said. Reedhead and Udall both emphasized that Gallego's commitment to cutting red tape, supporting conversions, and engaging rural voices isn't just policy talk. It's what these towns have been asking for. The next headline reads, "Hartley Young Motivates a Community to Pitch In," by Sam Stork, staff member. Like most 8-year-old girls, Hartley Young has big dreams. She has a love for music and dancing, roller skating, and crafting. She wants to visit Disneyland and dreams of meeting Post Malone and Jelly Roll, who are among her favorite musicians. But recently, Hartley was diagnosed with the diffuse midline glioma. A DMG is an extremely rare, severe, and rapidly growing tumor that affects the brain and spinal cord. These tumors are inoperable and incurable, with a life expectancy of 9 to 15 months after diagnosis. The diagnosis turned Hartley's and her family's world upside down, yet she hasn't lost her courage. She decided to live the best and happiest life with what time she has left. And like any mother faced with a heartbreaking situation, Hartley's mom, Sydney Willis, wants to make all of her daughter's wildest dreams come true. When the Heber Overgaard community learned of Hartley's fight, it lit a spark that spread like wildfire. Almost everyone that has heard Hartley's story wants to be part of making memories her family will all cherish for the rest of their lives. Sydney posted on Facebook that Hartley has been begging to see Post Malone at his show in Phoenix on June 21st and asked that everyone share and tag Post Malone to try to make one of her biggest dreams come true. Sydney hopes that if enough people share this post, it will make this dream a reality for her daughter. American Legion Post 86 and Heber Overgaard decided they will do all they can for Hartley and has made it their mission to share her story with the world. They began by asking the community to get involved in giving Hartley as many once-in-a-lifetime experiences as they can, and the Post adopted Hartley as their Child of the Year. On July 5th, Post 86 will be hosting an open house featuring a dunk tank, raffles, bake sale, and much more. All donations will go toward giving Hartley these experiences. The members of the American Legion Post 86 are not the only ones who decided to help. The entire community has joined the fight. Sanders Coffee and Company in Heber donated a portion of all sales on April 22nd to help fundraising for a trip to Disneyland and to spend time with family in Oregon. The Sanders goal was to raise enough money to pay for flights, hotels, rental cars, and other expenses for the trip. Not only did they give a portion of all sales to this cause, but they have a donation jar for anyone who wishes to help Hartley go on this great adventure. Hoss, that's H-O-S-S, and Quality Metalworks have teamed up to help Hartley also live out her dreams. They are making shirts captioned, "We Have Heart," and helping Hartley fight her fight. T-shirts are $100 and are available at Quality Metalworks in Overgaard across from the bank. 100% of the proceeds are going to Hartley's family. Snowflake Smokehouse, Just Teasin' in the Pines, the gym in Heber, and many other local businesses have either set out donation jars or donated baskets to the American Legion Post 86 to raffle at their open house for Hartley. Her story has even reached the Valley, where several places are holding fundraising events. In all of this, one thing is clear. The story of the small girl has a larger-than-life effect on the community. Anyone who wishes to donate to Hartley's fight can make donations at any of the businesses mentioned in this article. Best of luck to you, Hartley. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Northern Arizona. The next headline reads, Pine Top Lakeside Teen Earns Statewide Recognition in Photo Contest by Tony Gibbons, staff writer. With his Canon R50 in hand and a sharp eye for the perfect shot, 15-year-old Eli Matthews captured more than just a photo. He captured recognition as one of Arizona's top young nature photographers. Eli's image of a western bluebird earned honorable mention in the Nature Conservancy of Arizona's 2025 Adventures in Nature student photo contest. His photo was selected as one of the top 10 entries out of 470 submissions from more than 310 students statewide. "It's kind of funny," his mom, Heidi Matthews, said. "Just a week before we heard about the contest, his grandpa told him, 'You need to start entering your stuff in photo contest.' Then his aunt sent him the link and we thought, why not?" The award-winning image was snapped at Woodland Lake Park, one of Eli's favorite places to explore since his family moved to Pine Top Lakeside from Idaho 2 years ago. I walk there a lot, and that's where I get most of my pictures, Eli said. This spring was actually the first time I saw that bird. It was super pretty and brand new to me. A homeschooled student with a love for the outdoors, Eli spends much of his time mountain biking, snowboarding, and photographing the beauty around him. His go-to setup is a Canon R50 paired with a 100 to 400 millimeter Mark II lens, the same combo he used to capture the bluebird. While this was his first big photo contest, Eli already has big dreams. I'd like to be a photographer for a big magazine like National Geographic, he said. His mom isn't surprised. We're really proud of him, Heidi said. He just has this knack, an eye for what makes a picture come alive. When we're out walking, he spots birds I don't even see. Now in its 12th year, the Adventures in Nature student photo contest began in Tucson in 2013 and has since expanded statewide. The contest, open to Arizona students age 13 to 18, celebrates the beauty of Arizona's natural landscapes and wildlife through eyes of young photographers. Arizona Highways has been showcasing the beauty of our state for over a century, Robert Steve, the magazine's editor, said. The Adventures in Nature student photo contest is a great way to continue that legacy while highlighting the work of young and talented photographers within our state. Seeing all the photos submitted by these students is among the highlights of our year. Daniel Stellar, Arizona State Director for the Nature Conservancy, said, whether it's out on a long hike or just in their backyards, our hope is to get students outside to experience and enjoy the nature Arizona has to offer. A picture is worth a thousand words, and each year the students showcase some of Arizona's remarkable plants and animals with their amazing photos. This photo contest helps inspire the next generation of environmental stewards in Arizona. The western bluebird, part of the thrush family that includes robins and hermit thrushes, is known for its social nature. Outside of nesting season, these blue and rust songbirds are often spotted in flocks feeding together. Their year-round range includes California, the Southern Rockies, Arizona, New Mexico, and much of Mexico, while their breeding territory stretches into the Pacific Northwest, British Columbia, and Montana. Unlike most songbirds, western bluebirds migrate during the day. They nest in cavities, often abandoned woodpecker holes or man-made nest boxes, and rely on females to build the nests. Their diet shifts with the season. Insects dominate in summer, while berries such as cedar, juniper, and elderberry become staples in winter. The next headline reads, Apache County Team Effort Saves 31 Animals from Extreme Neglect, by Jen Moriera, staff writer. A total of 31 animals were rescued from severe neglect in Apache County over the weekend in a rapid response mission involving Tales of Love Rescue and Apache County Sheriff's Office. What began as a welfare check on three puppies quickly turned into a full-scale rescue. On the afternoon of April 18th, Tales of Love Rescue received a call about a potential neglect case. The nonprofit, based in Sholo and known for rescuing animals from the surrounding areas, found far more than expected upon arrival. Deceased goats were found lying among those still alive. Only two pigs remained in a pen filled with filth and debris. Chickens' remains were scattered across the property. Two dogs were locked inside an RV with no access to the outdoors. In a nearby shed, two crates held a mother dog and her three puppies in one and an older pup in the other. All five dogs were covered in feces and urine. Their water was black and contaminated, and their food dishes were unusable. Due to limited space, The rescue team initially removed only the youngest puppies. Once they regained phone service, they contacted the Apache County Sheriff's Office, providing photos and a full report. The sheriff's office responded immediately, confirming plans to arrest the property owner and authorizing removal of all animals. The individual arrested is 47-year-old Stuart Hutchinson. According to booking records, Hutchinson was taken into custody at 3:10 p.m. on April 19. He is facing multiple charges, including one count of felony animal cruelty. Other charges include disorderly contact involving a weapon, misconduct involving weapons, and threatening and intimidating. His bail is set at $5,000. As of press time, a court case has not been filed. By Saturday, with the suspect in custody, rescue teams and volunteers returned to the property and evacuated all remaining animals. This was a coordinated and compassionate effort, Tales of Love wrote in a Facebook update. None of this would have happened without this incredible community. Michelle's Mountain Grooming volunteered to clean the puppies. Lauren and Kaylee of Hector's Hay and Feed bathed the mother dog and older pup later that night. Many other volunteers helped with transport, care, and shelter. All 31 animals are now safe and adjusting well, representatives from the rescue confirmed. They're experiencing love and safety for the first time in their lives. Lance Matthews, president of Tales of Love Rescue, said in a follow-up interview, "The dogs are doing great. They have been cleaned up, and that required them to be shaved because of the terrible matting from the feces. The goats have been relocated to New Mexico, and the chickens are now in a safe, much cleaner location." This was a great group collaboration with ACSO, Concho Advocates for Animals, and Tales of Love Rescue. I want to thank all the volunteers, fosters, and other rescues that assisted with finding safe locations for the animals to go. Without all of them, this type of effort wouldn't be possible. We need help with medical bills, food for dogs and puppies, and always financial help to continue on with this mission. Again, thank you all for this wonderful outcome. For more information or to support the rescued animals, visit, all one word, talesofloverescue.com or follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/talesofloverescue. The next headline reads, "Ride along with STPD, securely drop off drugs in the lobby," by Mary Taylor, special to The Independent. The Snowflake Taylor Police Department offers more than law enforcement. It also offers a ride-along program for citizens. Alyssa Alvarez, record specialist with STPD, said the program is an opportunity for a civilian to spend a shift with an officer, observing patrol operations, and to educate and enhance transparency between the community and the police department. "Anyone 14 years of age or older is able to ride along with us," Alvarez said. "They can fill out an application online or come into the lobby and fill out the information. If they're under 18, they would have to have permission from a parent or guardian. You do have to be a U.S. citizen and have not been convicted of a misdemeanor in the last 12 months or never been convicted of a felony. Those are the only restrictions that we have." The STPD also has a prescription drug disposal drop-off bin in the lobby. Everyone is welcome to drop off unused medications for disposal, not just liquids or syringes, Alvarez said. Alvarez has been with the STPD for about a year in her first job with any police department. As a record specialist, she's responsible for maintaining and managing public records, including data entry, processing requests, and ensuring the integrity and security of sensitive information, while also assisting the public and other agencies with information requests. And if the name Alvarez is familiar, it's because she is the daughter of Jose Alvarez, owner of Alvarez Auto Center in Snowflake. For more information about the prescription drug disposal drop-off bin, the civilian ride-along program, or general questions, call the Snowflake Taylor Police Department at 928-536-7500. That's 928-536-7500, or visit snowflaketaylorpd.com. That's one word, snowflaketaylorpd.com. The next headline reads, Springerville's Squishmallow giveaway draws a crowd of more than 250, by Jen Moriera, staff writer. Hugs, happy faces, and heaps of squishmallows marked the first ever Springerville Easter giveaway, held April 18 and 19 at the Springerville Heritage Center and Casa Malpais Museum. The town's debut event, hosted in partnership with Toys for Tots, was a fluffy, festive hit, drawing more than 250 residents excited for cuddly collectibles and a chance at one of 10 Lego sets. The line began forming at noon on Friday, 2 hours before the official 2 p.m. start time. At the front were excited kids, parents, and even a few squishmallow-loving adults, all hoping to snag the adorable Minerva the Owl and enter the raffle. The turnout was fantastic, said Christy Prather, Springerville Heritage Museum Director and Event Coordinator. It was heartwarming to see all these joyful smiles on the kids' faces hugging their squishmallows. Definitely made my day. The Easter photo stop was such a fun touch, too. The photo stop featured a springtime barnyard backdrop decked out with Easter eggs, lilies, and bunny ears, giving families a chance to capture a memory. Thanks to the creative flair of the Springerville team, the display was both charming and photo op gold. Fresh popcorn was served throughout the event, and everyone who showed up left with something, whether it was a squishmallow, a game, or one of the Lego kits up for grabs. Originally planned as a giveaway of 3 Lego sets, the list expanded thanks to the town's ability to secure more donations. The 10 lucky winners who walked away with Lego sets from the raffle were Thomas, Patrick, Willow, Wyatt, Ray, Taylor, Owen, Reed, Kayan, and Wilder. The drawing was a fun highlight of the event and added even more excitement to the already cheerful afternoon. Springerville Town Manager Tim Rasmussen called the two-day event a great success and added, another great event supported by the U.S. Marine Corps Toys for Tots that deeply benefits our community. This was our first annual Easter handout, and we look forward to our upcoming summer and fall events. Mayor Shelley Reedhead praised the town's ongoing efforts to bring families together. Springerville is building something special.